There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas for the next 3 hours from the Circa Resort and Casino. And on tap today, we will get some East Coast perspective. Thomas Gable, Borgata Race and Sportsbook Director on the show. You know that they were flooded with Eagles money going all the way back to the spring and summertime. And no doubt with the amount of money coming in his neck of the woods for the Super Bowl. So that was no doubt a big win for him yesterday. Patrick Everson with Vegas Insider will get the scoop from him across this city and beyond with what the result was like for sportsbooks across the country. And Michael Lombardi will close up shop today in the final segment. Former longtime NFL executive and current VSiN host with his thoughts on the game. Congratulations, pal. Congratulations to you. Great job. For those of you who've been with the show for a while now, you know what we're talking about. If you're new to this program and to VSiN, today is your first show. Pauly won a huge ticket on the Chiefs going back to December, when there was a draft involving a blackjack tournament. Long story short, he finished fifth. The Chiefs fell to him at number five, and you took them at plus 410?
Yep.
For $7,500, man.
Yep.
Way to go.
Well, it was a wild ride. Thanks to Mike Palm and Derek Stevens. It did not look good at halftime. Hell, it didn't look good when Mahomes got hurt against Jacksonville in the playoff game, and Chad Henne enters at his own two. But it felt like a much bigger lead than 24-14 at halftime. It felt like the Eagles were in total control, and this thing might get out of control because they couldn't stop them.
What happens if that scoop and score doesn't happen?
That's enormous.
What are we talking about for a score at halftime?
Absolutely.
31-7?
That can't happen. Yeah, right. They're at midfield. You run that play, and he's switching hands, and he fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
And Bolton with the scoop and score. I mean, that's enormous. Because they were doing a good job at that point on Mahomes, and Kansas City had no answers for what Philly was running. But still, you go into the locker room up 10, and you're thinking, okay, well, they can't slow us down. We're feeling good. And that drive out of halftime was enormous for Kansas City, because that's the other thing. You want to say saved by the bell or what with the timing, because it was going into halftime? Henny's throwing on the sideline.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to come in at that point. But they get the 48-minute delay with the pomp and circumstance and Rihanna.
Can I go to my local pharmacy today and pick up what Patrick Mahomes was having at halftime? Or is that something like under the table, behind closed doors, that's not available to the public? Because he went from crying, literally crying his eyes out on the sidelines, to looking like a high school kid running around out there. I mean, there was not a problem in the world with his ankle in the second half.
Yeah.
That was pretty wild. And he got, the benefit definitely went his way because of the long halftime show. But what a game. I mean, that was an incredibly dramatic football game last night. And you're right. I mean, so many things had to happen for the Eagles to lose that game. Some of the big plays that come to my mind right now, right? The picks, the fumble, the scoop and score for the six, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. The horrible punt and the terrible punt coverage to allow Tony to set an all-time record in the Super Bowl for longest punt return. And the defensive holding, which we'll get into coming up in about 10 minutes here, whether or not that should have been a penalty or not. But there was also, and I started to come around this way. Yesterday we did 3 hours on the show. I brought this up when we were in Phoenix. I brought this up. I was quite confident the Chiefs' offensive line was going to hold up. Where was this vaunted Eagles front four?
Wow.
Wow. They did nothing in the game.
Yep. Yep. They didn't have a sack. The Chiefs had more rushing yards. I'll tell you what a horrible game was Gannon. Stock down on that guy.
Oh, boy, Paul.
The fake jet motion. How many times are you going to fall for this? And it's going to get you. The touchdown to Tony, which the play is called Corn Dog. They asked Bieniemy why they call it Corn Dog. He says, because we like to eat. Well, sure, why not? But Gannon had a horrible game. But this, it looked like we were going to have an all-time Super Bowl, too. Because you think they're going to hold him to a field goal. Hurts is going to get the ball down three. And then all these enormous props that cast. Are we looking at overtime? Are we looking at a game-winning drive here? Could Hurts have four touchdowns? Right. Everything was on in play there.
Now, you got mad at me on Twitter because when it was 35-35, I'm talking about from a sportsbook perspective here. I tweeted out this is going to be an all-timer if the Eagles would win 37-35 with a safety in overtime. And then you cursed at me on Twitter.
Okay, that's not bad, right? That wouldn't have been that bad.
My point was the Eagles would have won by two for that to be the landing spot, but also the safety in overtime sportsbook directors would have been crying.
No, sure, you're right. That would be an all-timer. Yeah. That was with the octopus coming in.
The octopus got there.
The doink comes in.
That also means the doink got there. That also means because of that situation, the two-point attempt and the two-point conversion and the octopus all on one play.
Yep, yep. Do you think Andy? I thought Andy should go for two up seven.
It entered my mind.
Yeah, if he could do that too.
What do you think about the Eagles taking the field goal to make it to land on 27 points at the time? Do I have my math right? Oh, yeah.
27-21.
And then what do you think about Andy Reid kicking the field goal with Bucker early on in the game? I'm telling you, if you flip that and that's the Eagles and Sirianni, he's not kicking that field goal. He's going for it.
Mm-hmm.
That was just...
I thought that would be an issue, but he only missed one. But I thought we'd have a missed extra point, because he had issues all year.
You know, I'm really confused going back to a Manning cast, and I love Peyton Manning, and I love his analysis of games and watching that. But when he said this like a month and a half ago, when the biggest misnomer in sports is halftime adjustments, right? We don't do anything. We go in there, we go to the bathroom, we eat some oranges and say, okay, guys, ready to go. He said, he's like, nobody. So what happened then last night? Did Reed and Bieniemy not make any adjustments? They never, 24 points, the Eagles defense never got any pressures on Mahomes. They never stopped the Chiefs offense.
No.
It was right down the field every single time.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, what are you doing, Gannon, right? You score 24 second-half points, zero resistance, no problem. It was a little bit of a pep talk by Reed at halftime, what he told Peter King. But as far as going in and drawing stuff up, I just think it was coming out and executing as well because how they what transpired in the first half. How good does Ayuk and Deebo look now?
I was going to bring that up to you.
What do you think?
Well,
it's a whole different ball game from Mahomes to Purdy. But, you know, I should have, would have, could have. But certainly for those guys to come out and say they haven't faced a quarterback like this, and trust me, Mahomes are going to move the ball on them. They got 38 points. So
I'm not going to say I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Niners are going to win that game if Purdy doesn't get hurt. But it's again, to take anything away from what happened 2 weeks ago in the championship games and say, oh boy, I got to love Philly because of this. That was a huge mistake. We talked about that a lot on the Monday following those two games. But that game was going to go a different way. And in fact, before it was late second quarter, and after Devontae Smith went like this with the double bump to say, guys, they didn't catch the ball, let's move right now.
Yep.
The Eagles did nothing until the Niners basically gave them a couple of touchdowns late in that first half. And then they just, they couldn't throw the football. Yep. And then Johnson gets hurt. Purdy can't even, he literally cannot throw the ball. He had to hand off every single time I don't know. Maybe that's a totally different result, though, based on what happened to his elbow. And I probably put some stock into what they had to say after the game now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you make of the SOS today?
Yeah.
I mean, that Eagles defense was, they had 70 sacks on the year. They ran away with the most sacks. They dominated teams. And they could not even sniff Mahomes last night. I thought that could happen, but I thought maybe two sacks would be like the ceiling for that team. They didn't touch the guy.
Right. Yeah. Very surprising. No doubt about it. Between that, it was a unique game. Between that, you had one kickoff return. How about that?
I know.
Touchback after touchback after touchback. You had only four punts in the game, and BTTS every quarter cashes. Both teams to score 35 points cashes.
Oh, that was a huge ticket.
The first downs go over. Right, plenty of big. You're right. The defensive touchdown, Bolton anytime touchdown. You're right. But we know how enormous the scoop and score was. How about the false start? I mean, it's third and one. That's stealing when you do the quarterback push.
Yeah.
How automatic that play is. And they're going to get the first down, and they're going to be in Chiefs territory.
Yeah.
And then it's going to, touchdown the other way. It's a killer.
That false start is going to be, a couple of plays from last night's game will be under-discussed from now until eternity, right? I mean, that's that play, and there's also a bigger play I'll bring up a little bit later on, too, that happened in the first half that nobody has mentioned to me was massive, but that false start changed everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you go from that, that's essentially automatic, the closest thing. And actually, in my head, I'm thinking, I think the NFL are going to change the rules here. It's too easy for them. Paul Stone had a great point.
It's a great tweet.
Professional sports bettor who comes on this show all the time.
Why don't other teams do it?
Explain this.
This is a great tweet about, well, considering what he squats and how powerful he is. That's why other teams. Saw a tweet where someone questioned why more teams don't utilize the sneak as much as the Eagles. It's an easy one. Most teams don't have a quarterback who competed in the Texas State High School Powerlifting Championships and squats 600 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful lower body. Yeah, very good tweet.
Yeah, they know what they have in this guy.
Yep. But what did we say yesterday on the air here, when we were on yesterday? You don't want any controversy. Stay out of the way, Sheffers, right? Was it the right call? Yeah. We'll debate that coming up. But the other thing is Mike Palm said full marks to Mike Palm, the VP of Circa. That field, that cannot happen. As bad as you want to say you can't decide the Super Bowl with that call, the field can't be a big story. It's a rink, right? It's a rink. That can't happen. Guys slipping and sliding all over the place. They spent $800,000 on that. All right, as the football season ends, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, your place to be for basketball and hockey. They have you covered for every line and every boost. Great promotions. Tuesday hockey, first goal insurance. Saturday hockey, same game parlay, bet and get. Check out BetRivers.com, great house specials, or download the app. It's a whole new game at BetRivers.
Yeah, we'll get to the controversy coming up next. And to Paulie's point, there was something going on last night in the game that was way worse, in my opinion, than the defensive holding call that ultimately decided the game. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. Check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? It's updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. It's another way VSiN's here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com.
So, of course, the Super Bowl was marred by some controversy. The defensive holding call around 2 minutes to play in the game. So if that is not called, Chiefs kick the field goal. They go up 38-35.
Oh.
That actually gives the Eagles too much time to score. And my thought is, unless they absolutely played it perfectly and milked the clock, this game was going to turn out like the Bills-Chiefs last year in the playoffs, where the Eagles probably score. Maybe it's a field goal. Maybe it's a touchdown. And then the Chiefs get the ball back with Mahomes one more time. And so was it the right call? The first initial replay or replays that we got, I never saw anything really. I've seen some stuff on Twitter that kind of makes it look like now the call had to be made. But in the moment last night, I'm just like, there's no way, no how you can decide that game, the championship, with that call. Paul, you won $38,000 last night on the Chiefs. What do you think of it?
It's a penalty, but do you decide the Super Bowl that way? Because you're deciding the game. Right? Was it blatant? The thing that hurt was Fox didn't give you the correct view.
It did not.
Because Greg Olson is sitting there, I don't know, you know, like he always does. He hedges every comment. I don't know. But
Pereira, he didn't like it. He did not.
No, it's true. Yeah, he said, right, don't decide the Super Bowl that way. But Pereira said, we need a different look. There's something else there. Because Fox didn't do a good job of showing Bradbury grabbing the jersey. He's got a fistful of jersey there. But then again, it just, you can't decide the Super Bowl that way. You don't throw the flag.
That's the way that I lean.
It was a penalty, but it's also it's the unfortunate part of this is it's taken away from what could have been an all-time finish.
Everything's
on the line here. Comeback, overtime, you never know. But I don't know why he did that because he didn't have to do that. Because what you missed, it's initially he's got the fistful of jersey. And then he comes in with a hold for like 2 seconds, have to let go. But then, you know, the pass is thrown in the back of the end zone. He has no chance to catch it.
See, and that's my biggest problem, man. I wish that we could use our brains on this. And, you know, there's got to be some room for interpretation. Mahomes was throwing the ball away. I don't think Randy Moss catches that ball. I don't think there's a receiver in the history of football who's going to come down with that. I think that was completely uncatchable. And then for for that game to be decided like that, in the moment, watching it, first couple of replays on Fox, I'm like, "That, please don't do this." And they did. And then imagine if McKinnon would have scored.
Oh, God. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I was just
sliding down at the one.
Yep. So here you go. Yep. We're going to hear from both players involved on that final play. Here's KC receiver Juju Smith-Schuster.
Do you feel like you got held on that last play when they threw the flag?
Oh, yes. 100%. My routes to strike in, strike back out. I mean, Bradbury's a good player, but, you know, I feel like at some day a call is going to be called.
That's Juju. So now, again, Olsen did not like it. I've heard other former players come out last night and today say, hated the call. Egregious. You can't decide a Super Bowl. Yeah. Other players have said, you have to throw the flag 100 times out of 100. Like, you got, to me, I have a problem with that call if it's in week 4.
No, you are consistent. I know you were pissed off with the NFC title game when it was Scotty Miller, I believe, Packers-Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Same thing. I mean, that iced the game, too. I thought that was more egregious than this one. But there's no need for him to do that.
No, there's no need.
If he beats you for a touchdown, okay.
Yep.
You still have time. By doing that, that means you're going to kick the game-winning field goal. There's nothing you can do when the game's over. You can't do that. Make him earn it there. If he puts it on him, and he throws a touchdown pass in the back of the end zone, so be it. You can't grab him there. And Sheffer said it was said no debate. It's clear as it gets. It's a jersey grab.
This is no whining. This is no sour grapes. The final decision with that score ending where it did was really not that big of a deal to me in terms of money won or lost. So to me, I mean, Gainwell scoring first, that flipping around was just a complete crusher to me.
Yeah.
But that final result was just like, okay, I can live with that, no problem. Losing a little bit on the final decision of that game. But this is just me as a football fan removing sports betting from it for a second. I don't want to see the Super Bowl finish like that, where,
right,
again,
totally,
the play is completely uncatchable. He's throwing the ball away. They know that they're going to kick a field goal there. Kirk Herbstreit on Twitter: usually do not get involved in ripping referees, but hate, all capital letters, that defensive holding call on Bradberry. 35-35 late on third down incompletion on what was a marginal foul. Let him play, man. Bad call. Hate. That is what many will take away from this game.
Yeah, and they caught the breaks in the AFC title game too, which you have to call the one with the in the side shoving him into the bench. I mean, he's past the white at that point to set up the game.
No, that's a flag for sure.
Right,
it's the other calls they screwed up.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. This is James Bradberry, who took responsibility for the holding call.
I mean, that's not up for my judgment. You know, I was hoping he would let it go, but of course, you know, he's a ref. It's a big game, and it was a hold, so they called it.
Yeah, in the moment, again, I just thought that's no way to decide a championship. That was my gut reaction last night.
Yeah.
And I thought that the Fox broadcast, they did not, you're exactly right what you said.
Didn't get that clear shot.
Did not have a clear shot right away.
Yeah.
With the initial couple of replays, I'm like, hold on a second here. What did he really do? He had his arm around him for like a second?
Right.
That you can't, there's no way you can call that? But I will say, what you said before the break, that, and oh, by the way, it's also more than that final play, the Eagles defense is to blame more than that. Eagles defense never showed up last night.
Right. Second half was terrible.
Oh, they were exposed. They were phony. Yep. Call it whatever you want. But the biggest takeaway from Mike Palm was all over this yesterday when we were on the air.
Yes.
He said, watch out, the TCU Michigan bowl game, players were on ice skates out there. How do you have a Super Bowl determined on that kind of field? That's Mickey Mouse operation right there, Paulie.
It appeared it wasn't that bad in the first half, but then after the halftime show, it got torn up and what happened. But how slick it was, and players said it was terrible, and it was an ice rink out there.
There was one player for the Eagles who compared it to being at a water park.
Right.
That one kickoff from Elliott, it looked like he was going to break his ankle.
Yep. Another reason I thought we'd get a missed extra point. Someone would slip. Again, imagine if that decides a game.
Sure.
Game-winning field goal. Cannot happen.
No.
It's a billion-dollar business. You spent $800,000 on the field, and that's a big story. I mean, that cannot happen.
Yep.
And I don't know, with all the people out there on the field and all the stuff they were doing with on the high rise and all the you know, up there, I don't even know what you call it, on the stands, what Rihanna was standing on and the other dancers, but it ripped the field up. But again, as many people pointed out, this has been a problem in that stadium before in the Michigan TCU game. That can't happen. You can't spend $800,000 on the field, and that's what it looks like.
If you're going to play a Super Bowl in those conditions, well, then you might as well rotate it in snowy cities, right? Cold weather. Play the game in Buffalo. Play the game in New York City again. Play the game in Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Have snow on the ground. Why? Why can't you do that? There's no way you can watch last night's game and tell me, yeah, this is completely how the players want to go out there and play, and then argue about playing like a playoff game or the Super Bowl when it's snowy outside. It's the same exact thing. I mean, I thought the Bengals players at Buffalo in the playoff game had a better feel for the snowy conditions than last night, the players on either team. And how about that, the video after Rihanna's Super, like you said, at halftime, how many people were on the field picking stuff up off the field?
Yeah.
That's not a lot. That's not a big turnaround. I think I probably counted like a couple hundred people there on the field picking stuff up off the field.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's unfortunate though for such a great game.
Yeah, you don't want it to end that way. I know you don't want any controversy. Which I know if people see that view right away where he has the jersey, they probably change their minds. But I totally understand what the don't decide the Super Bowl that way opinion as well. And you also after a 48 minutes without the ball, rather, you can't let Kansas City come right out and go right down the field if you're Philly and Gannon. Yep. It's too easy.
Well, and then
it's too easy.
Yeah, that was the play I was talking about. Now, after that, the Eagles again, 17 play drive, 7 minutes off the clock, they had to settle for a field goal.
Yeah,
you can't beat Patrick Mahomes with field goals.
Yeah,
they know this, but You got to finish that drive off with a touchdown. That would have been 31-21 then instead.
What's the highest you saw in play? I saw Philly $4.
Well, there was...
Because then you're thinking it might be any time. Here we go again with this.
When the Eagles got the ball back, when it was 21-14...
Another terrible job by Andy Reid not running it. They handed him 3 points
there. It was before, and we'll get into this later on, the Devontae Smith, the overturned catch.
Yep.
That was a non-catch. At that moment, Circa was dealing minus $5 on the money line of the Eagles. BetMGM had minus 306. So there was a huge difference.
Okay.
Huge difference. Okay. But then in that moment when the Eagles had to settle for a field goal and make it 24-14 going into halftime rather than 28-14, that is a massive difference there. Two touchdowns compared to 10 points?
Yes.
It's night and day.
Yep. Funny how they said no catch on the Smith, but the Goddard, I thought the Goddard was good too.
Yeah.
But the Goddard held up, so.
Yep. I thought they were going to overturn the Goddard, but I thought that it was, okay. So up next, we will get into win some, lose some. Books must have taken it on in the chin with some of the results from last night's game. And all of these props that came in at huge prices, man, it was a public player's dream come true last night. That's next here on VSiN.
Say, you always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. It's great to have you on board here the Monday morning after the Super Bowl. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas. Let's get some perspective from the East Coast, shall we? As Thomas Gable is the race and sportsbook director at the Borgata in Atlantic City, and he is up early with us today, and he is still employed based on last night's results. Thomas, it's great to talk to you. How are you?
Great to be on with you guys. Yes, still employed. I was when Dustin had texted me the other day to come on, I said, well, under one condition, if they might still need to be employed for me to be on, and here I am. So
Well, congratulations on that. Can you take us through, and you can answer this however you would like, but I have to ask you, obviously, going back to like last March, April, everybody in your area betting the Eagles on future tickets to win the entire thing. I mean, it was, you couldn't stop it, right? And for this game as well, like your ticket count and handle was completely lopsided, I'm guessing, on Philadelphia against the Chiefs. So how big overall was that swing when the Eagles actually lost?
Well, it was a seven-figure swing for us. Now, like you said, I mean, the Eagles opened up as 40-1 to win the Super Bowl last when we opened it up after last year's Super Bowl. And the steam really picked up around the draft. They had a good draft. They obviously acquired A.J. Brown. And that's really when you started to see the Eagles' future money pour in. But, yeah, I mean, throughout the entire year and throughout the season, people continued to bet them. This was, as somebody who grew up in the Philadelphia area, this was an unusual scene, I think, for me, where Eagles fans were actually confident going into this game. And it's not something that you typically see from a psychological perspective from the Eagles fans all the time when they're going into a big game. But they were actually confident that they could come away with a victory here. But, you know, in terms of booking the game, we had a lot of liability on the Eagles' futures. But the game itself, we were not so lopsided until about Saturday. And Saturday, when everybody got into town, I think for the weekend, checked into the hotel rooms and were getting ready for the parties and everything, that's really when the Eagles' money really started picking up in earnest for us on the game itself. And, you know, I would send out our positions to our president and our CFO basically the last couple days and give them an update. And basically it was, here's where we're at. If the Eagles cover and the game goes over, here's the result. If the Chiefs win and the game goes under, here's the result. And at the bottom of that email, I would always put the caveat, these scenarios do not include our future liability, which is X on the Eagles, and here's what we win on the Chiefs in the future book. So as that Eagles money started to come in on Saturday, and I realized books in Vegas, they were going to one, even some picks there on Saturday. That was never an option for us to move towards towards the Chiefs. So yesterday, mid-afternoon, I send out another update with our positions, and our president walks in, and he says, you know, I have been getting these emails and reading them. He's like, I never scroll to the bottom of the email to actually see what our future liability there is on the Eagles. He says, man, we're effed if the Eagles actually win this game. I said, yeah, it's not going to be a good one. Now, obviously, we still have in-game. And in-game, we were taking some Chiefs. We took a six-figure Chiefs wager in-game. We had the props market. So, yeah, it was a very big swing for us between an Eagles victory and a Chiefs victory. Could have been a very, very bad result, but ended up being pretty good there.
What was it like second half? Did they take the three with Philly too, or how'd that go?
So, I mean, again, you had a lot of people who were taking the three. We took some bigger bets, though, on the Chiefs laying the three. We took a six-figure wager on the Chiefs laying three. So we actually lost. Obviously, first half market was not good for us with the Eagles being up 10 there at halftime. So we ended up losing the first half. We ended up losing the second half market as well because of the bigger bets there on the Chiefs. So, I mean, again, the game wasn't like a runaway cash cow for us. You know, we did lose on certain markets there, but, you know, overall, I can't complain.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thomas Gable is our guest here on a Monday morning following the Super Bowl, the classic last night between the Eagles and the Chiefs. Thomas is the sportsbook director, Race and Sports at Borgata in Atlantic City. So on that note then, what were some of the markets? What were some of the props that kind of dinged you up a little bit last night?
Well, overall, we did pretty decent on props. I'll say the MVP market was one where, and I'll say the Chiefs' offensive line last night really showed up for them. They did a tremendous job. No sacks on Mahomes. In the MVP market for us, Hassan Reddick was a huge liability for us. He opened up as 30-1. He was bet down to 20-1. He had, I think we had double the amount of tickets written on him, double the amount of handle on him compared to any other player in that pool, MVP pool. So, and they were betting him very heavily. Gainwell, again, he had a lot of tickets written on him as well. He was somebody who was, all his props were getting steamed up through the week. And I get it, because when you looked at the Eagles offense, especially with if they go to throw the ball to a running back, Sanders doesn't catch the ball. Boston Scott really doesn't catch passes. So I get that his receiving yards prop was going to get pushed higher. But, you know, Gainwell certainly had a narrative on him that people were betting him throughout the week. The Pacheco props as well were getting bet to the over, and that was really due to a local situation for us. Pacheco is a local kid. He went to Vineland High School, which is right outside Atlantic City. So I think just he had a lot of local support there, and people were betting his props over. We did have one guy had a great hit. He got the exact score, $10 on the exact score, which hit for, I forget exactly what the price was on it, but I know he cashed for over $11,000 on the $10.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
On a $10 bet?
Yeah, $10 bet, yep.
Okay, all right. So when you plan on opening up numbers for next year, in fact, you might have them up already.
Yeah.
Like, if you do, where do you have the Eagles?
The Eagles are currently 9-1 right now. So the Chiefs are the favorite, which is, you typically make the Super Bowl champions the favorite when you open up the market. And again, there's you don't, as long as you're not expecting some huge turnover, and we certainly aren't there with the core. Chiefs open up as favorite. Eagles are 9-1. So we try to open these up right as the game ends. So people cashing out, they like to get down. And I remember last year when we were cashing people out, I think the first future we took for this year's Super Bowl was somebody put down $3,000 on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I remember that. That was the first first bet we took last year. So that guy, hopefully he,
now,
hopefully
he's around. Thomas, are you, so obviously, again, based in Atlantic City, are you going to be similar to books out here in Las Vegas where it's always been such a big Lakers town, for example, and when the Lakers are really good, it doesn't matter what number the books post up. I mean, in the Kobe years, the yes-no on the playoffs, they could put up 2-1 to win the NBA title and people are going to bet it. Is that, so I'm guessing that you're going to take plenty of action on 9-1 on the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. Listen, they have a lot of guys who are going to be free agents that they need to make decisions on. I don't think they're going to be able to pay everybody. But, yeah, the Eagles are definitely going to be a big liability for us going into next year. There's no doubt. Now, with the season that they had, the regular season that they had, and the showing last night, and obviously you never want to see a game come down to possibly an officiating call deciding it, but – you know, that's the mindset here right now is that, hey, they that call should have never been made and the Eagles should have had another shot at this.
Yeah. What'd you think of it personally? Did you agree with that?
It's a very, very difficult situation because you're going to get it, whether you make the call or you don't, you're going to have detractors on either side. But I lean towards not making that call because of the spot in the game and where you are with the time left.
Yeah, that's exactly what we think as well. Well, I'm very happy to hear that you're still employed today, Thomas. That's excellent because you do a great job out there at the Borgata. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that. And happy post-football season here in 2023.
Yes. All right, thanks, guys. And congrats, Paulie, on your hit.
Thank you, sir. Yep. Good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon.
Seven-figure swing there at the Borgata, as you would anticipate.
They did not have Doink, and they did not offer Octopus. At Bet Rivers, someone put $10,000 on no Octopus. Would have paid $500. Oh, boy. First Octopus in Super Bowl history.
Well, look, it takes a lot to even have an attempt.
Yep. And $10,000 will win $500.
Boy, he just hurts, vultured everything last night.
He did. And that is the biggest bet I've ever heard. Ben Falk said the same thing. $460,000 on a prop.
Anytime touchdown.
Kelce, bam, right away. There you go.
Yeah. And he was 3-1 to score the first touchdown for the Chiefs overall in the game.
Yes. Thanks to the tweet too. I missed one. The Ben Affleck commercial was solid.
I think
it was Dunkin' Donuts or whatever with J-Lo. And you recognize me? That was well done. I missed that one. Very good commercial. And the new Nike movie promoting that too. Jordan and
I think it looks pretty good.
Damon and Affleck and yes, Sonny Vaccaro.
All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, we'll talk about the biggest play of the Super Bowl that nobody is talking about. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, as football season ends, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, the place to be for basketball and hockey. They have you covered for every line, odds, and boosts. Tuesday hockey first goal insurance, Saturday hockey same game parlay, bet and get. Weekly pro basketball, bet and get. Check out BetRivers.com or download the app today at BetRivers. It's a whole new game.
We'll get into odds for next year's Super Bowl here coming up in a few minutes. Some things to address here before we do that, though. I wanted to point out, I mean, look, we're getting a reaction today, guys. Please talk about what happened to William Hill. Yeah. The sportsbook William Hill, it was down pretty much all day yesterday. In fact, it's still down. I feel bad for him. I do. I mean, it must be where they have so many books out here and across the country that it's too much traffic, and they couldn't. Something happened with the app and technology, and they couldn't handle it all. You think William Hill wants to be down the whole day? Of course not.
Oh.
And that stinks. And I feel bad for them. I feel bad for bettors who use that book. They have awesome in play. So That's good for nobody involved. I don't want any book to go through that on Super Bowl Sunday. That stinks. And this is from Logic3227 on Twitter. Points out, did okay betting the game last night. Not my best Super Bowl, but I made some money. Yet I still woke up this morning feeling like I lost. That's how I know the officiating was bad. We all got robbed of a potentially great ending.
Yeah. Yep. I understand the frustration. It's a horrible way to end the season.
Yeah.
And it could have been an all-time ending. And maybe with overtime involved, too. Good chance. But it's if you watch the entire game closely, and you're a former player, and you're saying they were allowing that to go on for much of the game, and now they call it bad job, Jeffers. But you know, I just don't know why he would grab him there.
Yeah,
I mean, why it's so blatant in front of everybody? I mean, he's got a fistful of jersey there. And he said, I mean, that's the other thing. He owned it afterwards. He says, yeah, I held him. I tugged the jersey. I was hoping they'd let it slide.
Yep. He owned up to it. I pointed out that the reason why I hated it is because Mahomes was clearly throwing the ball away, and it was 100% uncatchable. I said earlier, Randy Moss is not going to catch that ball. Like, it's not going to happen. People are pointing out that Mahomes saw the hole. That's why he was throwing it that side of the field. I don't know.
Okay. Well, the other thing was Pereira had it right. But Olsen said, no, you can't call that. It's a Super Bowl.
Olsen said
but
that.
But Pereira was saying, wait a second, we need a longer look here.
Yes.
Because they were missing the tug of the jersey, which Pereira had. So I'll give him credit there. But yeah, in light of what happened in the AFC title game, and then this happens again, Kansas City was living right. Oh, they were living right.
They certainly were. I mean, if the Bengals game goes another quarter, like Billy Walter said last week here on VSiN, Chiefs probably lose the game. If it goes to overtime.
Well, certainly the calls that went against them, though, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the do-over.
The do-over was just absolutely absurd. That's the call where they got it five things wrong.
They got away with a hold on Mahomes' run.
Yeah, the intentional grounding.
The intentional grounding on Burrow, I know. So, but they won it. Congratulations. So, what are you early thoughts next year? What are you looking at? Now, I will say this from a scheduling standpoint. Let's do it again. Let's start the season with a bang. The Chiefs host the Eagles next year. Let's do it.
Oh, would they do that?
Why not?
I hope so, but would they schedule a Super Bowl rematch?
They also host the Bills again.
Well, that might be the game.
How many years in a row is that? So KC has Philly, Cincinnati, and Buffalo at home. Those are your candidates. No Chargers. That's enough of that. I mean, it's always been a good game, but we did that in week two this past season.
We don't need that.
I would start it with KC and Philly.
Oh, they have to go a non-divisional game.
Yeah.
With one of the powerhouse opponents that they have on the schedule.
Yeah. And I won't complain if it's the Bills, although the Bills just started on the Thursday night this year.
No, that's
fine. I mean, going to Los Angeles, but sure.
I'd take Bills Chiefs in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Sign me up for that right now. If they want to do that. If they want to, I think they probably save that for a primetime game like in November. It'll be, I think, Eagles-Chiefs on a Monday night game or potentially a Sunday night game.
Remember, you can flex now late in the year.
Yeah, they can.
A Monday night, you can flex. Yeah. And Goodell talked about Thursday night as well. Chiefs are the favorites. You see 2024 now. Bills right behind them. Then you have the Niners. How will Purdy do in year two and coming off the injury? Certainly have to respect the Bengals. And as Gable said, the Eagles 9-1 at Borgata, and then you see 9-1 at most places too. But the jokes yesterday with Dak, that's the only way Dak will get to a Super Bowl. The Philly fans booing him for Walter Payton Man of the Year. Oh, God.
Oh. I missed that. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, man. So the Cowboys 14-1. No way. Big Mike calling the plays. Can't get there. The Charger hype again. Sure. Why not? I'm taking a look at the Ravens. Now, they tag Lamar and then they trade him. What happens? Can they work this out? If they have that same defense, and why not, right? But as nasty as that defense was, if I can get a healthy Lamar Jackson,
I will fall for the Ravens again.
Sure. And what do you want to do with the Jets?
I already bet them at 45-1.
See what happens with Rodgers now.
Does he enter the four-day cave today?
I think that starts, yeah.
Yeah.
And he emerges from the cave and then decide what he's going to do.
The retreat to 1,426 the year, living like a caveman. Okay.
Huh? Lions are going to be a sexy pick. Very trendy pick. Yeah. No doubt about it.
That's too sexy.
30-1. No, need better than that. Although they definitely can win that division.
Jacksonville and Detroit, too sexy, in my opinion. I don't want 28-1 or 30-1.
Uh-huh.
Although I could see if you can find better than 30-1 on the Lions, I could actually see that team being a version of this year's Eagles team. Right, because if Rodgers goes away, I mean, even if Rodgers comes back to Green Bay, that team is not that great. They're not in that great of hands. The Vikings, I think everybody anticipates that team to take a major step back next year.
Right.
The Bears need a ton of help.
Yep.
So in theory, that division can absolutely be had, which means their schedule will be somewhat easier. And, I mean, 50-1, I would be enticed if I could find the Lions at 50-1. I really would be, which I don't think that number is going to exist anywhere.
Yeah. What do you want to do with Miami? The unknown with Tua. Now, you did hire...
I think they have too many holes.
You did hire Fangio. How was that allowed, by the way? That's allowed? Fangio was hired by the Eagles to game plan for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I guess it didn't work.
It's a good question.
That's weird.
So you gotta if you're going to pick a team from the AFC, I think you need to be careful about which team you go with here. Because, look, I mean, we could talk about the Browns today at 40-1 or maybe even better. Expecting Deshaun Watson to not look like he did in the short sample size that we had. Maybe he bounces back and turns back into a top five quarterback again, and the defense regresses to the norm, and they play well because they have talent on that side of the ball.
Mm.
But again, you're picking the Browns in a conference where it's scattered with other great powerhouses. I think if you look at a team right now, why not the NFC? And you can cross team. Again, like you said, Cowboys? No, thank you. I don't want the Cowboys.
Right.
Packers. I don't want the Rams. So I think you can cross off a bunch of teams. And you know what? When the dust settles, I think maybe the Lions are the team that you fall on.
Well, we just had a team that was two plays away from doing this, a couple plays away rather, but 40-1 with the Eagles. Could there be another team that comes, I don't want to say out of nowhere because they were a playoff team the previous year, but takes that jump at a good price in that range?
I'm talking myself into Detroit here. I don't want to do the Giants. You're putting a lot of faith there in Daniel Jones.
Right.
And then in the AFC, you got, okay, which team has, what we watched again last night with Mahomes, which team has the best chance to play Kansas City and beat them, potentially at Arrowhead in the playoffs? Do you want to tie up money on the Bills at 7-1? I don't know if I want to do that. I still think the Bengals have the best chance to beat them.
What if Peyton can get Wilson on track?
I could buy into that.
Yeah, the defense was so good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all they had to do was score 17 points in these games, 20 points, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah. You have to have full faith that what we watched this, just throw away this last year.
Uh-huh.
Right? You need to treat the Broncos like the Eagles after beating the 49ers and all that crap went wrong for San Francisco. Just throw it away. It means nothing. You have to throw this season away for the Broncos if you want to make, and then you can get there. You can probably get there with that idea.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of faith in Wilson going back to the guy who he was in Seattle, and that can happen. Can Peyton make it work? Why not? Guy is really, really good as a head coach. And when Drew Brees came out and said he will absolutely get the best version of Russell Wilson possible, what you said right away, there we had major question marks about Brees in San Diego.
Absolutely. Right? And the Eagles are going to lose some people, but that's going to be a hell of a team next year, too. I mean, Hurts was dynamite. And so was that offense.
It was really good.
And the O-line, so.
Yep. We're getting feedback right now. Josh says he likes Jacksonville at 28-1. Jacksonville's going to be good next year. In that division?
And they get Ridley.
Yep.
Ed Ridley comes off the suspension.
Yep. Jake says he bet the Raiders at 40-1 completely based on Rodgers. I still don't like the Raiders if they get him. I did that with the Jets. I bet him at 45-1 because they appear to be like, let's make it happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jets would be dangerous with Rodgers and that defense.
Tripp is asking the question, who's the third best team in the NFC? Eagles first, Niners second, then who?
Who's the third best team?
I'll go Lions.
Based on how they closed?
Yep.
Yeah, to go into Lambeau when you're eliminated and still win that game?
I still think the Cowboys are good, but I just don't want them to win the Super Bowl. Patrick Everson on the program next. Great reporter on sports betting. We'll talk about how books fared last night with the Super Bowl.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Get ready for Lombardi today coming up here on VSiN and the GM Shuffle podcast. Must listen for every football fan. He'll go off today. Oh, Gannon's going to get buried. Players, teams, coaching decisions every Monday and Thursday throughout the season. Download and subscribe to the GM Shuffle podcast from VSiN and DraftKings today, wherever you get your podcast. Appreciate you getting up early again in studio, Michael Lombardi.
No problem, Paulie.
Thank you, sir. Well, what'd you think of the call on Bradbury?
Well, I mean, the kid admitted it was a call. I mean, you got to call, he called it. You could see the jersey clearly tug. I mean, you got to call it. You know, you could see the reaction. They were trying to throw the ball to Smith-Schuster. So, look, here's what I do know. If I were Vic Fangio, I'd be really upset today. Because my name was attached to that game plan by Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want that. Yeah. I wouldn't want that at all. I mean, that was as bad of a game plan that you could come up with. Their defensive line had 5 hits on the quarterback, no sacks. They never pressured. They played zone. When they needed the ball back, I said all week, look, I like the Eagles. But unless the Eagles had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, they were going to lose.
Yeah.
And you couldn't give them the ball back with a chance to score and beat you. Because Andy will throw the football. He wasn't just going to run it. And if you're playing soft's Big 12 zone, that's what he was playing. Soft Big 12 zone. It was a Big 12 game last night, really, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Big 12 game. And it was disappointing. And I think that, to me, a lot of people are telling me he's now going to become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, that is a tough press conference if that happens. That is a tough sell after what we just watched.
I mean, look, the Super Bowl the Eagles won, the Patriots never punted. The Patriots, after that game, were saying to themselves, how the hell did we lose?
Yeah, right.
You know, and this game, the Eagles punted twice and lost. I mean, this was classic Big 12 football.
Yeah. I know Peter King took him to task about lack of adjustments in the fake jet motion, getting them over and over again, and it worked twice there.
Well, what they
with
were
the
doing,
Moore and the Tony.
What they were doing, they were cutting that. So every time they were getting crossers, you could see them signaling to cut. So what they were doing were playing the play. They were playing the play, and Andy ran a reverse play off of the play. So Andy knew they were going to play the play. Okay, you know, you're going to play this guy's cross. So they just kind of instead of playing concepts on defense, they played the play. Okay, and then they worked against the play, and that's what happens. I mean, Andy is the master at misdirection in the red zone. You've got to be able to keep your eyes and ears on the quarterback, because if you get into that situation down there, all his misdirection is what he's trying to do. He's trying to create separation through deception.
I was surprised the Fangio thing's allowed. Because he had accepted.
Well, he was a free agent. He was with them all year. I mean, this is a misconception. He signed a 2-year contract with them at the end because he was going back in the league. So I think they had to kind of fit the protocol of the league. But he'd been helping Gannon. And one of the things we talked about with Gannon all year is how he was being a little bit more aggressive. But at the end of the day, his corners can't hold up. For all the conversation about how great his secondary was, they can't cover man-to-man.
Yeah.
I mean, Bradbury can't cover man-to-man. I mean, and, you know, that's why he got cut by the Giants. Mm-hmm. The Giants went to a full blitz scheme with Don Martindale, and Bradbury didn't fit. And Slay's not the same player he once was. But at the end of the day, when your defensive front gets 60 sacks a year out of the 70, and they don't hit the quarterback, that's why you're going to lose.
Then they outrushed them, which I couldn't believe.
Well, they stopped running the ball. I mean, they stopped running the ball. I mean, look, Hurts was running. I mean, Hurts was incredible in the game. I mean, he was running, and then they stopped running. I mean, the drive that killed the Eagles was when they were down. It was 24-21. The Eagles get the ball. They have that wonderful drive. They run that inside zone play on 3rd and 5. and it gets stopped, and they kick the field goal there to go up 27-21. That was one of those where he had to kick the field goal, but they needed a better third down call. I mean, I thought the Chiefs lost the game when they were driving down before they missed the field goal.
Right.
Right? They drive down, they ran that, like, shuffle pass that they didn't get, and Mahomes almost threw an interception on there.
Right.
You know, they kicked the field goal, missed the field goal, and then Andy mismanages the middle eight.
Again. Oh, again. Again.
Again.
Yeah. Were you surprised he deferred to start?
I mean, no, because, yeah, I was, because he never really pays attention to the middle eight anyway, so why would he defer?
Yeah.
You know, but he did, and then he's able to overcome it, had the nice drive in the set. But look, I mean, I know Mahomes is the MVP and Mahomes is great, but I don't think Mahomes really had a hard throw to make in the game. Like, Hurts made hard throws. The seven cut to Goddard might have, on 3rd and 17, was a great throw.
Yeah, yes, it was.
I mean, it was incredible. He made some incredible throws.
It felt like a blowout at halftime, though. I mean, I agree with you, what you said, kick the field goal up 27-21. The scoop and score, the fumble, that's enormous too. But the false start, I mean, it's 3rd and 1. They're going to pick that up there in Kansas City territory. Then the false start and then the fumble, and it goes touchdown the other way. But it felt like
they almost didn't call the false start.
Yeah, well,
they almost didn't call the false start. I mean, the line judge never even called it. It took the umpire to call it. And that was only because the Chiefs were just screaming. I mean, they didn't want to call anything. Huh. I mean, could you imagine no holding calls in the game? There were no holding calls in a game when we know NFL football is all about holding.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to call it, and the only reason they called the defensive holding call was because you had to call it. Like, it was so egregious you had to call it. Now, I know Philly fans are going to say that was a horrible call. Look, the kid admitted it was a call, right? When the kid admits it, then just stop complaining.
How about the field?
Horrible. Got George Thomas, he's done every Super Bowl? But that field has been slippery. It was slippery all year long. And maybe that had something to do with getting traction on the pass rush. I don't know. But to me, that was an issue. But kickers are slipping. I mean, that's a little bit like Green Bay. Yep. When kickers are slipping on their approach, that's a problem.
What do you think of Steichen getting the Colts job?
Well, look, I mean, Steichen did a really good job with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a unique kid, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think what the Colts want to do is try to find a quarterback, whether it's C.J. Stroud, whether it's another one in the draft, that he can build that six-back offense around. I mean, look, that's what Miles Sanders wasn't a factor in the game. You know, A.J. Brown was.
Big,
but it was A.J. Brown. It was it was a Big 12 game. I mean, the defense of the Chiefs, I didn't think they had the three and out. He went zero blitz. Spagnuolo went zero blitz on the third down where Hurts had to throw it out of bounds. The next time he went zero blitz, they converted. Then they scored down the field right away. But once they scored there, Gannon had to become more aggressive, you know, because you knew the Chiefs were going to run that clock out. And you're giving them throws on 2nd and 8 that get first downs. I mean, they went into full Canadian offense. They didn't really have a third down throw. So to me, that comes back to philosophy. And like I said earlier, if I'm Vic Fangio, I don't want my name attached to that game plan.
Yeah, yeah. Are you surprised Andy's coming back? At least he said he's coming back.
I don't know what else Andy would do. I don't know what else Andy would do. Andy doesn't really have a hobby. I mean, if eating cheeseburgers is a hobby, I don't know. I don't think Andy has a hobby. Andy likes football. I mean, if you like, why wouldn't you come back?
Yeah.
The games, look, for a guy like Andy, the game gets easier because he knows his system. He's got complete control over the organization. The coaches he's competing against, for the most part, are young, inexperienced coaches.
What are you hearing on Rodgers? What do you think happens? I'll ask you, because I don't know the next time I talk to you. What happens
I think Rodgers, I think they trade Rodgers. I think the Jets are so desperate for a quarterback, they're liable to give. Because here's the question nobody wants to answer. How long is Rodgers going to play for?
2 years?
I mean, he's in that cave with Andy Dufresne down there. I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, when he comes out, am I playing a year? Am I playing 2 years? Am I playing 6 weeks? I don't know. I mean, look, I think he's a great player. But if I were a GM, how do I quantify giving up all those picks for what? What am I getting, 1 year? That's pretty short-sighted.
The Jets reached out, but that's you have to talk to him. I know. And it's got to be tied into the compensation.
It's got to be tied in.
What if he up calls it quits, like a year, 2 years?
That's right.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
So, I mean, if he's going to play 3 years, they're going to get a heavy deal for him. If he plays 1 year, they're not going to get as heavy of a deal unless somebody gets desperate.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate
anytime, Paulie.
All right. Great. The great Michael Lombardi, former NFL executive and GM Shuffle podcast coming up, and Lombardi Line as well. So he's got a big day coming up. And subscribe, tune in, and listen to that. And it was great hearing the Al Davis stories and all the NFL stories, having dinner with him this week as well. You know, it's unfortunate ended that way. You know, but Bradberry admits it. But that that's it. Game's over once you throw the flag there. That's it. And it's a hard way to end the season and for the Super Bowl to end that way. And who knows what the finish was going to be like. Mitch is right. Overtime, everything was on the table. Great comeback win. If McKinnon gets in, do they try to answer and do they go for the win there with Hurts? If McKinnon would have scored and you drag him in? Incredible. All right. Great job by the crew. Dustin's the best, greatest producer. The great job behind the glass with everybody. Also in Phoenix and here Sunday and Monday. Thanks to Len, Brian, John, and thanks to the listeners. Most importantly, you've been with us for 5 years. We thank you for watching every single day and during the five-year run. We know what to schedule. We have to recharge the batteries. So we go on vacation now with the season being over. It'll be Stormy and Sean King here this week. We are back the 27th of February. So they'll be holding it down. And again, thank you very much to watching every day and the loyal Follow the Money Army as well. Thanks to everyone who has been a part of the last week and the 5 years with the listeners as well. So we'll be back on the 27th as we start vacation now in 10 seconds. And Mitch had to get out here already because they moved up the flight on him as well. Have a good weekend. Take care.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled Kalshi, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.